Hello, welcome to 21st Century Moses Podcast. My name is Sammy Zhu, your host. Do you have something that you really want to see? And if you have seen it, then you might want to share it with anybody that you know of. For example, if you love to see Grand Canyon and you went there and you saw it, you saw the glory of it, and you want to post it on your Instagram and Facebook and any social media that you can think of. And what if you met a celebrity that you wanted to meet once in a lifetime, that you finally met him or her and you're so excited about it and you want to share it with anybody else, right? If you see something that you wanted to see so much, then you don't want to hold it to yourself. You want to share it with anyone. Now, likewise, do you want to share about Jesus? Or if your answer is, I'm not sure. I don't want to share about Jesus because that's kind of personal matter. Probably, then you might not want to. You may not want to see him that much, or you are not really desiring him that much. Because if you really desire to see him, then if you saw him, then you don't want to hold it to yourself. You want to share it. You want to share about him with anyone that you meet. So today, I want us to delve into about these two very important things, see and testify, or see or sharing. Because we saw a man named John the Baptist. He saw Jesus and he testified about Jesus because he could not hold it to himself. He was so amazed by who Jesus was. So as we continue with the Book of John series, this book tells us amazing truth about Jesus. Last week, as we learned from John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3, we learned that Jesus is God. And Jesus is creator, and we're nothing without him. Today, we're going to learn another definition, another identity of who Jesus is, and why we need to testify about him. So let's go to John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. It says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" Amen. There are two points I want to make from this passage about who Jesus is. First one is, Jesus is the Lamb of God. And the second one is, Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Now, let's look at one by one. So first of all, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Look at verse 29 again. "The next day he saw," who is he? John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold," in other words, see, look at him, "the Lamb of God." So the first point is Lamb of God. Now, what is the Lamb? I mean, this Lamb reminds me of the Passover Lamb. The Passover lamb is a significant mark in the book of Exodus. And in fact, it's a very, very important the truth in the whole entire Bible because, you know, God saved the people out of Egypt. But in the 10th plague, that was the killing of the firstborn son. But the Egyptian sons, their firstborns in the Egyptian, they were all died because death angel killed them. However, the people of Israel, the firstborn sons of Israel, were spared. How? Because they obeyed God's command, that God commanded them to kill the lamb so that the blood of the lamb would be put it in the doorpost so the death angel can see the blood and death angel can pass over. That is why it is called the Passover. So the lamb is representing the Passover lamb the lamb shed blood so that the death would not be upon to the Israel, people of Israel. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. That is why the blood was shed. However, this Passover lamb that was killed or slain during the time of the Exodus are not the perfect lamb. They were portraying or foreshadowing of the true and ultimate Lamb, which is the Lamb of God to come. Because, let's go back to today's passage. It says, look, the Lamb of God, who is this Lamb? What does he do? Who takes away the sin of the world. So this Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. Now, this is the first statement that John the Baptist was speaking about Jesus. Now, normally when you introduce people, you don't want to start with grotesque or graphic things about the person. You want to start with a very, very good compliments. Like, yeah, look at this person. You know, he is an amazing person. He's very intelligent. He's very skilled. And he is very smart. Or she is an amazing person. You know, she takes care of lots of things great way. She manages well. You know, we want to start with something very, very positive. But in this case, John the Baptist starting with this very graphic image that this, look at this man. This man is the Lamb of God, and he is going to take away our sins. He's going to be slain. In other words, he will be killed. So it's a very interesting and not so likely introduction. However, John the Baptist started with that because that is the truth, number one. And number two, that is the gospel. The gospel message is not shying away from the graphic image. The gospel message is all about Jesus Christ taking away our sin. That is because that is why the gospel is the gospel, good news. Because if Jesus did not come as the Lamb of God, then our sins will be still there, and then we will be judged by our sin, judged because of our sin by God, and will be thrown into hell forever. But Jesus became the Lamb of God humbly, and he voluntarily took away not just some people's sin, but he took away the sin of the world. And this is the first definition or the identity of Jesus Christ. But let's go back to the second point, which is Jesus is also the Son of God. The beginning of this passage today, verse 29, talks about Jesus as the Lamb of God. But the ending of this today's passage, which is verse 34, let's look at verse 34. It says, I myself have seen and have testified that this, who is this? Jesus is the Son of God. You see, the starting and the beginning. We see the starting is the Lamb of God, and the ending is the Son of God. We see it kind of this like a sandwich structure, and in between there's John's confession, how he came to know that Jesus is the Lamb of God and the Son of God, and we're going to talk about it in just a few minutes. But let's talk about the Son of God. Now, Son of God and God, who is better or higher? Well, in this term, in this context, Son of God has the equal essence, equal characteristics and attributes as God the Father. So God the Father and God the Son of God are one. God the Spirit are all one together. In other words, the Son of God is God, because we learned from today's last week's the portion that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Who was the Word? Word is Jesus. And Jesus is the Creator, because apart from Him, nothing came into being. So that means that Jesus is the Creator. We normally think that God the Father is the only the Creator, but that is not the case. God the Son is the Creator together. So God in three persons, they're working together in perfect unity. That is what is called the Holy Trinity. So the Son of God is God, the God of all universe. The Son of God has all the attributes of God, so that he is manifesting, he is representing who God is perfectly. There is no sin in him, because he is perfectly holy, and he has all the power, he has all the glory of God himself. So we can see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to today's passage. And then if you put them together, we see the great combination, the Lamb of God and the Son of God. What do you see there? You know, Lamb of God is such a humble image because he willingly became like the Lamb to take away our sins. But at the same time, the Son of God is a perfect definition of the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords. He is above all things. So we see the magnificent glory in that name, Son of God. But if you put them together, humble and glorious, the most highest, we see the amazing, amazing combination of who Christ Jesus is. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, the magnificent, almighty God. Yet He humbled Himself, became the Lamb of God to take away our sins. So that Jesus is almighty, He is all-powerful. Yet He is all loving, that He cared for us so much that He humbled Himself to be the Lamb of God. You see the power and love together. And we see that this pattern is being continued in the whole Bible, that Jesus showed the ultimate power in the empty tomb, but before the empty tomb, Jesus showed the ultimate love at the cross, that He died for our sins. Again, Hebrews 9:22, without shedding the blood, there is no forgiveness. And because of that fact, because of the truth, Jesus voluntarily shed His blood on the cross to forgive our sins. You might think like, you know, there could be some other ways to forgive our sins, you know, so that Jesus didn't have to come down and He did not have to die on the cross and He can just forgive us just by saying, hey, you're forgiven. Well, that is not the case. We don't know all the mystery. We don't know why blood is used, but the Bible is truly showing what we know is the love takes the sacrifice. That love is the sacrifice that Jesus sacrificially shed His blood to forgive our sins, because He is the Lamb of God. But He is the Son of God who is mighty enough to bring us to Him in heaven to live forever. He is a mighty Son of God who is powerful to save us from the bondage of sin and death, to conquer the death, so that we have the eternal confidence in Him. So we don't have to worry about death anymore. We don't have to worry about all the problems in the world anymore, because He's not only Lamb of God, but He's also the Son of God. Amazing, amazing truth about who Jesus is. But it's very interesting how John the Baptist figured out who Jesus was. Because as I said, it's like a sandwich structure, that Lamb of God and the Son of God. In between, John is telling us how he came to know about who Jesus was. So let's go back to today's passage and let's read. Let's look at verse 30. It says, this is He on behalf of whom I said, after me, after John the Baptist. What does that mean? You know, John was baptizing people earlier than Jesus did. So John's ministry precedes Jesus' ministry. But not just that, John was born a few months before Jesus was born. In fact, they were cousins, they were relatives, they were very close to each other physically. So that was the context. And John is continuing to say, comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. Jesus existed before John the Baptist. So even though John was born before Jesus, Jesus was already there before John was born. Because John was what? John was just a human being, just like us. But Jesus is God. But he became 100% human, but also He is the 100% God. He was even before anybody else, okay? Because He is God. And then verse 31, it says, I did not recognize Him. And then he also, in verse 33, he repeats this again. I did not recognize Him two times. So what does that really tell you? John did not really know about who Jesus was. it's kind of, isn't it interesting? Because, you know, they were not strangers to each other because, you know, again, they're relatives. We don't know exactly what happened between John the Baptist and Jesus in their childhood. But we can imagine that because they were cousins and there was a family, very close family oriented society. So I'm sure that John and Jesus met together. Probably they played together in their childhood growing up, and because their age is so similar. And so we can think about all those things. But during that time, you know, John the Baptist did not even recognize who Jesus truly was. Well, interestingly, when John was in the mother's womb, Elizabeth's womb, he kind of kicked so joyfully because of Jesus and Mary's womb. However, in this context, you know, even though they were very close to each other, John did not know who Jesus was. What does that really tell you? Jesus was not known to the public, and Jesus was not really known to other people about who he really was, even to the relatives like John the Baptist, until this moment that God showed who Jesus was to John. So let's go back to today's passage again. It says in verse 32, John testifies saying, I have seen. And this is also repeated in verse 34, I myself have seen. Again, right? So John the Baptist, he saw Jesus Christ. Okay? And then let's go back to this verse 32. I've seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. Who is Jesus? Who is him? Jesus Christ. The Spirit, this God the Son, God the Spirit, was remaining upon God the Son. So we see the two persons in the Holy Trinity, but also we see God the Father here as well, because verse 33, again, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me, who is this? God the Father, to baptize in water, said to me, he upon whom you see, this he is God the Son. The Spirit, here we go, God the Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, all together in this verse. The Holy Trinity was there, and descending and remaining upon him. This is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ, in this proclamation, again, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were all together, revealing who Jesus is to John the Baptist. So even though John the Baptist did not know, but God, the Holy Trinity, helped John to know the truth. Okay, and then verse 34, it says, I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Okay, so John saw Jesus, but not only seeing him, John also testified that Jesus is truly the Son of God. Now, this is so important. Earlier, I mentioned that if you see something that you really wanted to see, and then if you saw it, then you want to testify about that. John already knew about his mission. His mission was not to become a great person, although he was a very mighty person in the world, and he had lots of followers, and he was respected by so many people. However, that was not his main goal, because he already knew, even before he recognized who Jesus was, he knew that his mission was to prepare the way of the Lord. So he knew that at the same someday he would meet the one that God has called John the Baptist to testify about. Even though so until that moment that he recognized who Jesus was, John was doing his own ministry, preparing the way for the Lord without knowing who that person was. So imagine if you were John, you would be like, okay, I'm doing this ministry. I don't know who that person is, but I am so excited to see him. I cannot wait until I saw him. But, you know, I did not know that it was actually my cousin Jesus. You know, this is John the Baptist. But more than all the family ties and everything, he was so amazed by who Jesus was, because he recognized that Jesus is the Lamb of God and he is the Son of God. So that John, even though he was born before Jesus, and even though his ministry was even way earlier than Jesus' ministry, John gladly laid down whatever he was doing in front of the foot of Christ Jesus. We see that all the rest of the story, that John chapter 3 verse 30, John the Baptist said, "He must increase, I must decrease." John was so excited to see the bridegroom, the Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that John was prepared to prepare for Jesus' coming. So we see this is what we need to know, because in Asian culture that I was growing up, you know, normally older person gets the lead and the younger person must listen to, and that's kind of the situation. So if I were in John's shoes, it would be very difficult to, you know, let everything go in front of Jesus. However, if I truly know who Jesus is, then none of those, you know, age difference and the ministry, all the ministry size, all of them, none of them matters in front of Jesus, because I am so amazed by who Jesus is. That's it. I see his glory so that I testify about him. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about any other ministries, but it's about Jesus Christ. So how should we live? First of all, we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because as you see that John the Baptist did not know until God the Holy Trinity revealed who Jesus was to him. In other words, if we do not have the help of God, nobody, none of us can truly recognize who Jesus is. Even if you go to church and study the Bible, if God does not open our eyes to see Jesus as he is, then we'll not know who he is. John the Baptist was the same way. You know, he was the man of God, but there was the moment that God opened his eyes. It's the same way. So we must be desperate to know who truly Jesus is. The problem I see in the church is this. I mean, there are a lot of people are coming to church and they study the Bible, which is amazing, amazing thing. But as I said, many of them do not want to testify about Jesus. They just want to hold it to themselves. I think the main reason is this, that they still do not know who Jesus truly is. They know about Jesus as an information, but they have not truly met Jesus as John the Baptist met Jesus. Because if they truly have met Jesus, then they just cannot hold it to themselves. They want to testify about Jesus. They want to share through the social media and everything that they could, because they met amazing the Lamb of God, the Son of God. So we need to know Jesus not as information, but as we met Jesus as much as we want to, and testify about him. So that we need to pray to the Lord every day. Like, Lord Jesus, please help me to know you. Help open my eyes so that I can truly see you. I can truly know you as you are. So pray about this. Pray that the Holy Spirit would illumine your eyes. Second, see and testify. When the Holy Spirit opens your eyes, then you will be able to see him as he is. Okay, so that you will be amazed by who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lamb of God. I mean, just that one identity of Jesus. Wouldn't that be enough for you to talk about him? That Jesus is taking away your sins, all the infirmities, imperfections, and all the mistakes you have done in the past. Jesus is taking all of them on his shoulder as the Lamb of God. You know, that itself must amaze us, so that we will want to testify about Jesus as the Lamb of God. So important. Let's not caught up with all the pre-knowledge or information, previous information that we learned. You might say, oh yeah, I know about Jesus. I learned about him, you know, when I was growing up in the Sunday school. Don't think that you know everything about him. If you're not really sharing about him, that means you don't know anything about him. So be humble and ask the Lord to tell about Jesus. so that you will see him. Open your eyes, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith, so that as you know, as you see him, that you will want to go out and share about him. You will want to testify about him so that whatever glory, whatever things that you have in the world will not matter to you anymore. The worldly culture is very different. The worldly culture is about sell and take. It's a business mindset. You want to sell yourself. That's why you want to decorate yourself, that you want to be successful in your work. You want to be very smart in your class. So for what? For selling yourself in front of other people so that you can earn, you can take the respect, or you can take the glory from other people, or you can take money, you can take whatever you want to do, whatever you want to have. But that is nothing compared to the glory of God. John the Baptist was an amazing man, so he gained a lot of respect. But in front of Jesus, he already knew none of them really mattered. Christian doctrine, Christian way is different. It's not a sell and take. It is a see and testify. It is to see Jesus, and it is to testify who Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, we thank you so much for teaching us about this wonderful truth about who you are, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. Father, please help us and guide us so that we can truly be amazed by who Jesus continually, so we will not be deceived by Satan, who is trying to lead us to sell ourselves and to take glory from other people. But Father, please help us to stop that and help us to fix our eyes on Christ Jesus, so we will only focus on seeing Jesus, only focused on testifying about him all the days of our life. Father, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.